I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast, brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Today on the show, we're talking about Texas. Texas represents one of the largest hemp markets in the United States. And recently, there's been some new regulations introduced that are a little, well, unclear, to say the least. Back in episode 32, I talked to Jim Higdon. He's the co-founder of Cornbread Hemp out of Kentucky. He wrote a fantastic book about the history of hemp in Kentucky, and he contacted me to tell me about these new regulations.
I'm confident that I'm still confused, but at least I've got some firm understanding of what it is I'm confused about. And also, everyone I asked was like, huh, like lots of dogs hearing noises for the first time.
Right. I would say any good legislation should be like that, though, right? It should be completely confusing and absolutely unclear so we can argue about what it actually means, just in case we want it to mean something else, right?
This appears, by my reading, to mean something bad, and everyone who should know this is like, oh, take a look at that. That's interesting. And then not like, oh, we looked at that and that's not the case because of XYZ, or not, you know, it's just like,
Right.
Oh.
So let's talk about it. As we understand it, what is being proposed? And then we'll talk about what that could possibly mean and what the issue is.
As I understand it, talking to you from Louisville, Kentucky, the great state of Texas has already passed CBD legislation to legalize the sale of CBD products in Texas.
Right.
What we're looking at now is the Department of Health and Human Services, maybe the Department of Health of the state Department of Health in Texas is issuing regulations on how that would go about.
Okay.
So it's the executive branch of the Texas state government setting the rules up for how that CBD industry will operate legally in Texas.
Gotcha.
Okay. And so the law is passed, it's legal. This is just the framework for how that would go about. And in these regulations, it says out-of-state CBD products can be sold in Texas. Before that, there's some curious, novel label requirements that are going to be required in Texas. They're going to require all the labels to have the URL of the business, the email address of the business, and I believe a phone number of the business on the label, which is regulation that we've not seen before from any other state.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get a URL. That makes sense. I can see, like, for marketing purposes, why you might put your URL, you know, on a label or something, but the phone number, that's kind of odd.
The phone number is kind of odd considering the font size it's going to have to be to fit.
Yeah.
Is going to be, you know, like 5-point font or something.
Right.
And the other thing is that all that is made redundant by the QR code, which is also required in the Texas proposed regulation. And that's a good thing because all CBD products should have QR codes.
Agreed.
That link to lab reports. So you can determine the potency and safety of all those CBD products. Absolutely should have QR codes. And the Texas regulation, mandates a QR code, and that's good. But with a QR code, it makes redundant needing a URL or a phone number because you just like QR code it and there you are.
Right.
So the label requirements are a little funny and could require supplemental labeling in one form or another, not just for my company, but from any company looking to do business in Texas.
The catch is not that, like, it's a big deal that the phone number there, but the catch would be, well, now all these companies may have to completely redo their labels just so they can be sold in Texas.
Correct.
Gotcha.
This is just one example of the lack of FDA regulations is causing a vacuum where individual states are making their own regulations. And Utah has strict regulations, but Utah is a small market. Texas is now implementing a unique kind of strict regulation, which is fine, but Texas is a huge market.
Right.
there's going to be a lot of CBD companies who want to comply with those Texas regulations, but they're different than every state. So as this patchwork of regulations, you know, we're going to, you know, could have contradictory labels where you have to have different labels for different states and they can't go to each other's states. So it's just an example of how desperately we need federal regulations to make these uniform, so states like Texas aren't stepping out and making these decisions on their own,
right,
without consulting other states in the process.
So, leaving small business people.
It's unfortunate, frustrating, but not really Texas's fault necessarily.
Right.
It's the federal government's fault.
But it puts a small business person in a situation where they may have to decide, okay, is it worth it for us to make new labels just so we can get into Texas? Or do we make new labels that can get into Texas and say, all right, screw Utah, I guess we're not going to sell stuff there because their label has to be completely different. It's just a mess.
Well, and I don't mean to set up Utah as contradictory to Texas, but just as an example,
like hypothetically,
Utah, like if you're selling in Utah, you have to submit all your labels to the state of Utah for approval. If you're selling in Denver in Colorado, you have to get approved by the Denver Department of Public Health. Like every state, there has some very curious regulatory compliance to go through, and it's this crazy bureaucratic patchwork that companies like mine have to navigate.
Right.
And Texas is about to come online with this particularly strange set of requirements. But so the phone number on the label, like, it's inconvenient, but whatever, it's fine, we'll deal with it. Mm-hmm. The problem is, in these same set of regulations for out-of-state CBD companies, Texas is like, fine, you can sell out-of-state CBD products under these three circumstances. And circumstance number one is coming from a state with a hemp program that's been approved by the USDA under the 2018 Farm Bill, as I understand that language to be. Now, the problem with that, it sounds very normal and rational. If Texas wants out-of-state products,
then
you get products from states with the USDA approved program. The problem is the rules that the USDA implemented in late last year are so strict that 14 states have chosen not to comply with those standards and go by 2014 Farm Bill standards. And those states include Kentucky, Colorado, and Oregon, who are the top three producing cannabinoid hemp states in America, with the top brands located in those three states. It seems like the Texas regulations bar CBD products from Kentucky, Colorado, and Oregon. Unless the second provision in the out-of-state CBD regulations apply, but it's written in this confusing manner that I don't know what it means, and I couldn't get anyone on the phone today and in the Texas state government to tell me. So
let me see if I've got this. So basically, Texas is saying we will only be able to buy CBD products that are adhering to the 2018 Farm Bill, and the three biggest states who are arguably doing it the best and have the most support for CBD and hemp are going by the 2014 Farm Bill because that one was looser than the new regulations. Therefore, you can't sell stuff from Kentucky, Colorado, and what was the other one? I'm sorry.
Oregon.
And Oregon in Texas.
And again, this is my reading of Texas proposed regulations. I've not had any help from anyone, and it's confusing, and I'm not a Texan. So I could very well be getting this wrong. But as I understand it, here's the language. A registrant selling consumable hemp products processed or manufactured outside this state must submit to the department evidence that the products were manufactured in another state or foreign jurisdiction with, one, a state or tribal jurisdiction plan approved by the U.S. Department of Agriculture under U.S. code, which I believe is this 2018 Farm Bill thing.
Okay.
Two, a plan established under that same code that if that plan applies to the state or jurisdiction, this is the part that I don't understand. A plan, if that plan applies to the state or jurisdiction. So maybe this is the caveat that the 2014 Farm Bill applies. But if that's the case, then why have the number one if the number two is the get out of jail free card?
Right.
And then the third option is foreign jurisdiction. So obviously that's not the case. So
I know nobody can see this because if you're listening to the show, but I am making that twisty dog head we talked about as you read this.
Yeah, this is a sticky wicket.
It seems like it's saying that only USDA approved hemp states can sell in Texas, and that excludes 14 states, as I understand it, and that includes Kentucky.
So
if I want to sell to Texas, I can maybe do it online, but not in retail. And I'm fulfilling online orders into Texas every day.
Right. It sounds like we need to get someone from Texas on the phone to clear this up. But I wouldn't even. Where do you go?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's covering the hemp beat in Texas. Texas is a foreign land to me. So yeah, I'm a little bit out of my depth. I just am focused on this as a business person because we're trying to get cornbread hemp everywhere we can.
Right.
And really interested in doing great work in Texas. And we have, you know, cornbread is a brand that will resonate really well in Texas.
Definitely.
And we can't do that if these proposed regulations read like they seem to read.
And if this continues, it might not just be Texas. It could be a lot of states.
Right. Not just Kentucky. This isn't just my self-interest. This is, you know, if they want to buy Charlotte's Web retail out of Colorado, it would also apply, it seems. It's just strange. And it's also strange that, I mean, it makes me feel particularly vulnerable that I'm totally wrong because I'm the only person saying, hey, is this a problem?
Well, if nothing else, we'll find out if it is, I guess.
If I'm wrong, then that's going to be great. If I'm right, then that's bad. But then maybe there's still time to change it.
Right.
Because these regulations are still in the proposed stage. We still have time to raise public awareness enough so that they realize that they're making a bad regulation.
Well, and the even scarier part is maybe you're not wrong and they don't understand and didn't even realize what you're saying. That's the really scary part. You know, if they go, wait a minute, we didn't even think about that.
That feels like the rightest answer. I think that's the situation. Is right? They wrote these rules and didn't realize they were excluding people. They just wrote the rules.
Yeah.
Trying to be Boy Scouts about it.
Yeah.
But by Boy Scouting it, they cut themselves short.
As of June 4th, Thursday night, when I'm editing this, we still haven't heard from Texas. We still don't know what these proposed regulations mean or who to even talk to about them. And therein lies the insanity of the hemp business right now. All people like Jim are asking is tell us the rules and make those rules apply to every state so we can adhere to them. I can't think of another business in the world that is asking for this much regulation. And here is hemp saying, tell us what to do and we'll do it. But when it comes down to individual states making rules that only apply to those states, you end up in a quagmire. Just like this, where three of the most important states working in the hemp business right now could be excluded from retail in Texas, one of the largest markets in the United States, and that is insane. Now, I'm not trying to demonize Texas. I'm not saying there's anything fundamentally wrong with Texas. In fact, in our next story, we're gonna hear a really nice story about Texas. But this is a perfect example of where the federal government needs to step in and make these guidelines so they can apply to every state. And Jim and I went on to talk about how Mitch McConnell, the senator from Kentucky, who's been an important Kentucky hemp advocate, is noticeably silent and absent of late. And yes, there's a lot of stuff going on right now between COVID and protests against racial injustice, both of which are important and need our attention. But at the same time, when you have a discussion of regulation like this that ends on the 8th of June, 4 days from now, and we can't get an answer, that is scary, and that could set a precedent. Jim isn't alone here. He gave me the contact information for Jana Groda, who is the vice president of the Kentucky Hemp Industry Association, who has also reached out and can't get any information out of Texas yet. My initial plan was to reach out and find out for myself, but I can't get that information either. So we're going to continue to follow this one, and I'll let you know. And here's hoping that Jim is wrong, and this is just some strangely worded regulations. It's not all weird, confusing, bad news coming out of Texas. There's some good stories, too, in my next guest. His name is Michael Tullis, and he is the proprietor and owner of Early Fruit Hemp in Lubbock, Texas. You might know Lubbock as the birthplace of Buddy Holly. It's a smallish Texas town in northeast Texas with a population of about 250,000 people. And I was surprised to hear how well a small hemp business could do in a town like this. Here's my conversation with Michael Tullis of Early Hemp. Tell me your story. How do you end up in the hemp world as a small retailer in Lubbock, Texas, of all places?
Completely by accident. So, really, I was interested in hemp, and I started seeing it on the shelves here in Lubbock, and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Let me buy one of these pre-rolls to test it out and see how it goes. And I liked the idea of it, really, but I didn't like that product at all.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't smoke good, it didn't taste good, nothing.
How long ago was this? When was this?
So, man, it started showing up around here around 2018, maybe the end of it is probably when I first noticed it.
So just a couple of years ago.
So it's only been here in Lubbock a couple of years, yeah. And I had honestly never even heard of smoking hemp flower. I knew CBD oil was getting pretty popular.
Right.
So I was just taken aback and decided to give it a shot.
So that was, you tried it and you were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going for it.
I was like, I'm not going to do this if this is what it's going to be like. But I do like cannabis a lot, and I have for a long time. So I, you know, figured I'd try some more out and did some research, and I found some really cool farms that are doing some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly up in Oregon, but across the country. And by the time I, you know, tried a bunch of different products of theirs, I decided I might as well go at it myself, see if they'll open up any deals with me. So I got a couple of farms that are working with me, I guess, wholesale.
Cool.
Producing everything there from seed to packaging, which is really cool. It's a really small batch, really craft type product.
So not that I expect you to be like a full on hemp scientist here, but you said right. When you first tried smokable flower hemp, you didn't like it. Do you know, like, what went into the process of deciding, I don't want it to be like that. How did you, what is the process of improving it? I guess, like, what process did you go through to,
I mean, I've smoked pre-rolls before, not hemp, marijuana pre-rolls. So, I mean, I kind of know what they're supposed to smoke like.
Sure.
You know what the insides of them look like.
Right.
This one didn't work at all after several attempts. So I opened it up and it was like a powder. It wasn't even, and there was little metal pieces in there. And it was like really, really sketchy. I was like, man, this looks like they just scraped together something out of a grinder.
Yeah.
At the end of a long day. I guess I didn't really think that I could do it better.
Right.
But that there was definitely someone out there who was doing it better.
Sure.
Or it wouldn't be a thing.
Sure. Was that your guys' first product, the flower, or did you start with tinctures and whatnot?
The flower was where we started. We kind of realized pretty quickly that people wanted the tinctures more than anything.
Right.
Or, you know, the salves. A lot of people want the gummies too, which is, it's pretty crazy. I've never even tried the gummies myself.
I've tried a few, and there's a few I've liked, but it's definitely not my favorite delivery system.
Really?
Yeah.
I've heard they're pretty good.
Yeah, it just, like anything, it depends who's doing it right and what they're putting in it, right?
Right. So these same farms that I was getting flour from, they were rolling out their own tinctures and their own salves kind of around the same times. So I just asked them for some of those. They hooked it up. And, you know, some of them didn't work as good as others. It took some time to wean through some farms, but we found some really good tinctures as well.
Nice. Do you do the majority of your business? Is it online or is it local? Is it people from Lubbock coming to Early Hemp or Early Fruit? I keep saying Early Hemp. Sorry, Early Fruit.
No, it's okay. The majority of our business is local, which is really cool. So we set up a booth at a farmer's market once a week.
Okay.
And that's about all we do here. But the response has been amazing.
Really?
Yeah, it blew me away. I didn't think at all that Lubbock, Texas would respond well to a cannabis company.
Is Texas hemp friendly? I mean, I know they've got some fairly good laws there. There's, in the beginning of this show, I'm actually discussing an issue with some verbiage in their latest, you know, rules that are coming out for CBD and hemp in Texas. Mm-hmm. From your experience as a small business person opening a small, you know, hemp business, has it been friendly? Have you felt pushback?
Actually, I haven't felt any pushback at all.
Wow, that's great.
I haven't had anyone. I've had, you know, a couple of people will come up and give me their opinion.
Sure.
About it. But, you know, but that's not the law coming up and giving me in their opinion. Sure. So I don't mind.
So as far as like administrative or governmental, it was.
Yeah, nothing's been a problem at all. Banks.
Yeah.
Banks around here were an issue.
I can see that. I could see that being tough. Definitely.
Finding a small bank, I think, was the trick. A lot of the big banks were still scared, but
are you
dealing with the local banks? They'll help you out.
You're dealing with a local bank?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's totally amazing. And what about like credit card processing? You don't have to tell me who you're using, but I assume that was difficult to get that going.
It was pretty hard. And the company I ended up with, there was a supposedly a 6-week wait. Ended up actually being 12 weeks. So we got pushed back pretty far there in the beginning.
Yeah, that's great. Mm. It just sucks right now because everyone is so terrified that at any minute it could be made illegal again. So major credit card processors are still scared and waiting for the FDA to say, nope, it's okay. Or, you know, it's bizarre. What do you think your biggest challenge has been so far for Early Fruit?
Really, I think every step of the way has been the biggest challenge. But once I got banking, it kind of went downhill from there.
Yeah.
Everything started falling into place. So I would say that was it.
And the whole discussion with like the local banks getting that set up was, this was literally just you face to face saying like, look, this is what I want to do. I believe there's a market here and you can tell by state law and the farm bill that it's legal. And they were receptive. They were just like, Michael, we like the cut of your jib. Let's do this.
Yeah, it took a few tries, but it took a few banks, but I eventually got the right pitch down.
Fair enough.
They were pretty welcoming. They weren't too surprised. I guess maybe a few people have been trying
right
around that time.
And what do you see?
They were way, way willing.
That's great. I mean, like, that is a much better story than I've heard from a lot of other people in different states.
I know. I was terrified the whole time. I was like, man, this is going to be the hardest thing in the world. But
oh, yeah. Convincing people that you're not a marijuana salesman, right?
Yeah. And yeah. Around here is pretty hard. There's not too much education on the difference between hemp and marijuana around here.
You guys are maintaining a blog on your site. That's really good. I checked out, by the way, for education.
Oh, thank you.
What about like locally? What are you doing for like, are you doing anything to try and educate the local populace?
Just kind of while I'm there, I'm providing as much education as I can, answering questions, things like that. But no, I'm not really an outreach person. And so I even have trouble, you know, even typing up these little blogs that I post.
sure.
But it's just some severe stage fright that eventually maybe I'll get over. But for now, I think I'm doing pretty good getting some education out at the farmer's market that I go to.
And what do you see?
They want more. They know where to find me.
Yeah, right on. What do you see the future for Early Hemp? What are you hoping for? Are you going to try and get into your own farming, or you just want to be like a retail outlet?
Yeah, so it started as a retail outlet, just trying to get something quality here in Lubbock.
Right.
And since then, it's worked, and I've met a lot of great people, and I've built some relationships in the hemp industry, which is really crazy. So I'm actually looking to... I'm not looking to. We just planted 16,000 plants.
Oh, man.
And yeah.
That's huge. We'll be
growing our own this season.
Wow.
We're a little bit late into it, but I think it'll still work out fine. Texas stays hot.
Yeah.
It doesn't cool off when most
people. Not too much, no. Barring catastrophic climate change, which, you know, is a reality.
My gosh, these days anything can happen.
Tell me about it. So do you have processing set up? 16,000 plants, that's not exactly a small experiment you're jumping into, is it?
No, I tried to keep it as small as possible, but I've got some friends that talk me into crazy things.
We all do, I suppose.
Right.
How are you guys going to go about processing that?
I'm not quite sure. I know we've got a place to dry it, which is kind of the scariest part.
Yeah.
You think about that many plants, that's a big facility.
Yeah, that's like an airport hangar, right?
Yeah. Gosh, I hope we don't need that much. But yeah, it's really going to be a lot. So we've got that figured out. And as far as processing, we've got a few different options. Unfortunately, not many here in Texas.
Yeah.
Yet, hopefully within the next couple of years, they'll start filling in. But we'd like to, you know, to just do something simple with it. And if we need to take it and extract it with ethanol ourselves, hopefully not. I'd way rather have, you know, a CO2 extraction, something a little more pure.
Sure.
But if we have to, and then, you know, get into our own products if, you know, if even the grow itself works, we'll be able to get our own tinctures and our own salves made, and hopefully our own smokable flower. We're growing outdoors though, so we're not really aiming for that.
Are there rules against that right now in Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's rules against a lot of stuff, and manufacturing and producing, and even retail smokable hemp, I think right now is all really questionable.
So it has to come from like greenhouses more or less.
Yeah. Or out of state.
Yeah. So you truly are in the experimental phase right now. You're like, let's see if this stuff will even grow, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, really this whole thing started off as an experiment. I didn't, you know, a year and a half ago, I didn't think I was going to be, even successful doing retail,
right?
Much less have an opportunity to really dive into the hemp industry, really dive into growing and learning everything that I've learned. So I guess at this point I'm happy if everything just shuts down and it doesn't work from here on out. I've learned a lot and I've had a great time.
Fair enough.
But
I like that attitude.
I'm surrounding myself with fantastic, a lot of really good people. Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm like, oh, you know, I learned a lot. I can take that away. Good for you, man.
Thank you.
I'd be terrified.
I have a lot
personally.
Of really smart people around me too. I've got some brilliant people, so I'm not, maybe not as scared as I should be.
Fair enough. How many people are you working with on this project?
There's four of us that are working on the project, and then we've got a couple extra people helping out.
That is awesome. And so you said, hopefully you would like to have it processed somewhere, and then you want to turn it into your own tinctures, your own oils and topicals and whatnot.
That's the plan. That's my plan for it anyways. We'll see what everyone else wants to do.
Sure.
But we're all moving that direction, and it'd be nice to be able to brand it.
Definitely.
And get our own products out there.
Right.
So we're doing this. My store does, you know, this kind of small batch, from farm to table type product. And I'd like to be able to do that for myself, kind of integrate my own in that direction as well, you know.
And then it's world domination after that, right?
If I can, yeah, take care of my house first, but you shoot, let me take over the world. We'll have a good time.
That's important, definitely. I've talked to people in LA and Minneapolis and Seattle, but like not a lot of small town, you know, hemp retailers out there right now. So it's cool that something like this can even work in Lubbock.
Yeah, I thought so too, and hopefully it stays working.
Yeah, man. I hope the best for you, and I appreciate
Thanks
the so flower
much.
That you sent me. It was fantastic, by the way. I
really
enjoyed it.
I'm glad you liked it.
Definitely.
Glad you liked it.
I'll have links to Michael's early hemp site in the notes to this episode, and I was really fortunate and glad that I could get two stories from Texas, one that's kind of weird and hopefully turns out to be good, and one that just is good, a small business run by a local proprietor who's trying to spread the word through education and quality products. I think it really illustrates how somebody who cares about hemp and CBD and does their homework and works with the right people and seeks to educate their local populace can succeed no matter where they are. And I hope if you're listening, you'll throw a click Michael's way and at least check out his site. That is it for another episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. And if you haven't had a chance yet, please head over to Patreon.com/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp insider. It will get you early access to our articles, extra content, podcast extras, and more importantly, it helps us spread the good word of hemp. If you dig the show and you believe in what we're doing, please help out. And if you can't, that's fine too. You can write a review of this show or leave it a star rating on your podcast app. It really does help to get this information to other people. If you need more Ministry of Hemp, you can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook, we're everywhere on social media, at Ministry of Hemp, /Ministry of Hemp. And we're always publishing amazing stories over at ministryofhemp.com, like a story about hemp masks that are offering sustainable personal safety during the COVID-19 crisis. Now, I know we're trying to return to work and return to life and whatnot, but you still need to wear a mask. And if you want to do so and make a statement and do it sustainably, why not wear a mask made of hemp fabric? There's also a great post about how to maintain focus while working at home without guzzling gallons of coffee, which is something I am very guilty of. At the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that an accessible world is a better world for everyone, so we will have a full written transcript of this show in the show notes for this episode. Before I end the show with my usual sign-off, I want to say that the Ministry of Hemp and myself stand with Black Lives Matter and stand with the protesters and support everyone that is out there right now fighting the good fight. But please, please take care of yourself. COVID-19 is still very much a reality, so please wear a mask, wash your hands, take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will ya? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp podcast, signing off.